Okay, as we continue ahead, we do have to take a brief timeout for traffic. We go to Michael.
Yes, caller called in and reported that there's an accident in eastbound West Main at Nichols Road. There's the right two-hand lanes are being blocked due to that accident.
Ooh, that'll be fun getting home tonight.
Yeah, Jim let me actually know about that.
If it wasn't the snow and stuff wasn't bad enough, now yeah. There's an accident.
Now deal with that.
You know, I came by a gas station on the way in. What I was impressed with is there were five vehicles refueling. Mm-hmm. Four of them had plows on the front of their vehicles. Guess who is out driving
around? Of course. Yes. You like to see that sort of thing. Yeah. Let's get those blades working there a little faster. But
apparently they needed gas in their trucks.
You know, not a bad thing, too. And another tip to mention is, and we'll get back to the topic we were discussing before the end of the hour, but another good tip to mention, too, is if you are in need of gas, if you feel like, all right, you're down below that quarter of a tank, they always say in the wintertime, keep it up above half a tank at least. So might be a good time to fuel up if you can manage to get out.
You know, I was thinking about that. This is getting scary. Mm. I'm starting to get on the same wavelength with you.
You know, they say great minds think alike. Well, uh-huh. So do ours. So
proving what?
That's not true? Absolutely nothing, really.
you're probably not going to get me to come around on climate change, but I was going to ask if we've got listeners who know about that. Is that a myth that condensation can form in your tank? Because I have always kept the tanks in my cars full. Mm-hmm. And I was going to ask listeners if that's a true thing or is that a myth. I'm thinking it's true, but that's
might very well be. But you know, they always said don't swim after you had a meal, and that's apparently a myth.
Now we know that has nothing to do.
Certainly.
So if you're a good backyard mechanic or a mechanic, is it true that you should keep your tank filled in this kind of weather? I like to mix gasohol in this time of weather because alcohol sucks water out of your system. Uh-huh. And is that a myth, too? Am I just guilty of superstitious behavior?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You might be generally anyway. But
well, that's true.
I'll tell you what, we did have and certainly welcome to call in with that as well. We do want to continue the debate on global warming / climate change / whatever you want to call it. And you're welcome to call us as well, 382-4280 or 877-382-4280. And you know what? John is on the line. I'd like to see what John has to say. So welcome to the show, John. Glad you're with us.
Yeah, thanks. I'm curious if we've actually got someone on a local radio, on our local radio station. I just only barely caught some of the conversation that doesn't believe in science. I'm wondering if that's actually going on in this town. I mean, I can see, because we know that Fox News they don't acknowledge science, and a lot of people won't acknowledge science. Actually, there was a very valid survey that was done, and the survey found that people who have strong beliefs a certain way, through religion or whatever their beliefs may be, they cannot, it was quite a phenomenon, they cannot even be swayed by scientific fact and documented studies and research. If their opinion is so ingrained in them, did a study, they were shown scientific documentation, facts on studies, and they still hung on to their narrow-minded beliefs. I mean, it was quite amazing. I've always wondered if people became so ingrained, and because I think we've all had to grow out of a lot of our beliefs as we get older, I've always wondered about that. And now there's an actual study that has shown that people who are really ingrained in opinions will not sway, even if the science shows otherwise.
John, it sounds like you're a man of science, just based on what I'm hearing.
Well, the only thing is I just caught a tail end of a conversation in the car about, it seemed like we were debating about whether whether there are changes happening to our planet based on this human population growing. And I'm as skeptical and try to be as open-minded as anybody and at the same time stay very skeptical to learn and not bring my own opinions into things when I read things. And I got it. All the documentation, all the research, all the science now is showing that, I mean, I just, it amazes me. I think anyone who cannot, who isn't, they're not reading the studies then or something. I don't know. There's a really excellent author that is often, in Rolling Stone magazine, which actually is a very good magazine, has a lot of very pertinent, journalism in there. And, a guy by the name of Bill McKibben, you can look him up. He's quite an authority on the climate right now. And, they've also found, and I don't mean to keep going without letting a word in, I'll shut up here in a second, but they've also found that so many scientists and studies and documentation that refute climate change, and we could call it global cooling. Some scientists are calling it global cooling now. Mm-hmm. Others are still calling it global warming. But we're still talking about climate being affected. And they're finding that so many of these studies, if they dig deep, they find out that a lot of these scientists are actually linked to the petroleum industry. It takes a lot of uncovering, but they found that so many of these studies that are trying to refute climate change are really linked to ExxonMobil and some of their highly paid, very good writers.
Well, the reason why I asked you, John, if you were a man of science, and it sounds like you are, what would you say if I had proof that global warming had stopped for the last 15 years?
I'd like to see it. I mean, I never decide on. I mean, I've tried not to land on any one thing for any. Things are constantly changing. We're mm-hmm. constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Things, science is showing that there's constant changes going on. Yeah,
because there's actually a piece. It was in the New York Times, the environmental section. It was in June of this past year, talking about how the rise in the surface temperature of the Earth has actually plateaued.
Yeah, there's a lot of tricky stuff going on when it comes to actually getting these deductions about what's actually happening to the climate, and some things can show. Some things can show the opposite of what other scientists have previously thought. So really, I think that, and I'm not really calling to make a point or even beginning another argument. It's just sort of like people have to really look at a lot of research and science that is being done right now and just decide for themselves. But, you know, it's all I can say right now because like this study I cited earlier has shown that even you can be shown all kinds of science and still stay in your narrow-minded view. You know, it's just something that we're either gonna try to learn more about, or we're gonna continue to turn our backs on even the possibility, and see what's happening here with the Arctic ice melting up there. And I mean, and I don't understand how all these human activity couldn't affect the ozone layer. It just
Well, you know, it's interesting. You talk about approaching things with skepticism, and it's an approach that I think is well worth having, John. I think, to me, if I see proof going, okay, well, there's some proof that things are warming up, and no, wait, now there's proof that things have been warming down, you know, cooling off here for a little while, it would kind of make me go, all right, I'm a little skeptical. I want to dig in. I want to know more. Not necessarily make me say, no, it's not true. And,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's the discussion that you got in on the tail end of, and I wish you'd heard more of it. But
but
I think, you know, that's the discussion we were in about, you know, there's proof on both sides. To me, I think that says, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's figure this out. Let's study it instead of saying, well, there's a consensus, so it's a done deal.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I agree. I think that also the scientists have to acknowledge, I think that it is the most scientific the absolute scientific view to admit that we don't know on a spiritual level, on the long term, thousands and thousands of years into the future and thousands of years in the past that we couldn't study. We don't know over the course of eternity, I guess, or the course of many, many years, what the planet is going to, how the planet is going to evolve. So there's a lot of information out there as to the fact that there's no weather changes happening at all. This is just if you look at it over the course of tens and hundreds of thousands of years, there's nothing really major going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, John, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks so much. Okay. Have a good day.
Okay.
I have to correct myself.
Okay.
In our discussion earlier, I said 99% of scientists agree that humans are causing climate change. I overstated, and I would like to correct, it is 97% of scientists think human activity is causing climate change.
Where's the number come from? Just so that we've got some proof behind that.
This is from Skeptical Science is the website.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that one, so...
Nor am I.
Okay.
But this confirms what I thought. Actually, no, it doesn't. It says there's 97%, not the 99% that I had said. Your point is that we need to. It's like you're seeing this as a balance, and science hasn't decided what's going on here, and that it's equal. Maybe 51% saying, yes, climate change is happening, and 49% saying no. And that's not the real world. In the real world, the great majority of scientists who have a better understanding of this than you or I agree that humans are causing climate change. So it isn't like it's up for debate except for people who don't want it to be true. And yes,
denier. Is that what you're saying? I'm a denier? I'm a denier and I'm totally wrong? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you already said.
I believe you
already
are,
said,
I
no,
believe
wait a minute,
you are
wait
wrong.
A minute. All right. You said 99% earlier. Then you've walked that back and said 97% from this website that even you say you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where the numbers come
from.
And yet, you're going to turn around and tell me that even though you don't know where those numbers come from, they're right and I'm wrong. That's what I just heard.
Because I have seen numbers of this magnitude where it was 97 to 99.
Okay.
Very high percentages in a number of different places over a long period of time.
Still,
and so
we're talking about
this passes a reasonableness
saying,
test.
We're talking about the consensus of people just saying, well, I think it's true, but I've got
no,
science.
No, we're talking scientists. We're not talking people here.
Wait a minute. We're also talking about how science comes up, and there was a story. You asked for a source, New York Times. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of your favorite sources, one you like. They have a story about it, and I just mentioned it to John a little bit ago, that said, yeah, global warming has stopped. We've not been warming for a great deal of time here.
But that doesn't mean climate change isn't happening.
Climate change is happening every day. It's called weather.
No.
That's what it is. It's
the
weather.
The temperature's not going up.
Let's move on to the phones here. Let's move on to the phones here. Here's Bill in Kalamazoo. Bill, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to answer Roger's question about the gasoline and the water in the gas.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to get involved in the controversy of the...
Oh, come on.
What happens, Roger, is... you get water and gasoline typically from the handling of the gasoline. Condensation and things can occur, and, you know, you have piping. You have different things where the gasoline comes from refineries and goes into trucks and then ends up in tanks and things. So during that time, you can get water contamination in the gasoline. Gasoline is it's a chemistry question, and gasoline is a very nonpolar compound, water being a very polar compound. So it has a certain capacity to dissolve a finite amount of water, but it's also dependent upon temperature. So as the temperature cools, you have a lower capacity to absorb water in the gasoline or to be dissolved in the gasoline. And so what happens is when it gets really cold out, that water falls out of solution, and water being more dense than the gasoline, it'll fall down toward the bottom of your tank, and so then it... that's where people have a problem where it'll get sucked into their fuel line, and you know you're dead in the water. Alcohol, by adding alcohol to the gasoline, it doesn't actually remove the water from the gasoline, what it does is it increases the solubility of the overall solution to be able to handle that water.
So it'll absorb the water more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it just basically distributes the water in the solution, and so that's what happens.
So it's not a myth that you should keep your tank more full than empty this time of year.
It's not a myth, and it's also not a myth about having alcohol. You know, using alcohol for, you know, to help.
Okay.
To absorb the water in the gasoline.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Bill, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
No problem.
Okay. There was Bill, and we move on from Bill. Charles has been waiting very patiently on the phone. I think we need to head on over and see what he has to say. So, Charles, welcome.
I appreciate having the right side foil against my favorite liberal hippie there. It's been a while, so keep it up. I want to talk about the fuel.
I cut off my ponytail. I'm no longer a hippie.
Okay.
go ahead.
You can talk.
Yes.
The administration has pushed so hard with ethanol into fuel now, and in a lot of states, and I'm not sure about Michigan, they no longer even have to list the percentage. Most fuel contains between 10% and 15% methanol, which is, you know, about the same in the old days as dumping 4 or 5 bottles of, you know, gasoline de-icer in your tank. So don't buy any fuel de-icer or anything like that because you've got more alcohol than I think there should be in an engine already. Premium gas carries the most amount of alcohol because it is the cheapest way to raise the octane. So there's a lot of alcohol in the gas, so it should not really cause any kind of freezing in the wintertime. The other caller is correct that water gets into the tank during handling. In your tank in your car, unless you have a really old car, it's almost completely sealed to the outside air. So having a half a tank or quarter tank really won't cause any condensation because there's no free oxygen with moisture in it entering your fuel system. So in modern vehicles, it's pretty much a closed loop. So, you know, you're not getting outside air in the tank to cause condensation.
Okay.
But it depends on the age of the vehicle from the sound.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If it's more than 10 years old, then even the system that's supposed to be closed is probably broken down and leaking air. But, you know, if your gas cap is fitting tight and everything else is right, you know, you have very little external air getting into your fuel system. So, and it's got plenty of alcohol. So, don't worry about buying or putting any more in.
Okay. Charles, thanks for calling. We're to a break right now, but we appreciate your time. Okay, we appreciate your time as we continue ahead on the program. Make sure you keep it right here.
Good
set
one.
Of drums over there.
Good one. I did play drums in my high school band.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm a drummer at heart.
So you were like set drums or snare drum or bass drum? Or?
I played snare drum.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
In a marching band.
Okay.
But I am not the Roger Taylor that was the drummer for Queen.
I would not have accused you of such a thing.
I know. I just wanted that to be clear.
so we don't have anybody come asking for your autograph, right?
Right. I had a reservation in a hotel, and the disappointment on the desk clerk's face was amazing when I checked in. Because Queen happened to be playing in Boston at the time.
And they thought for sure.
Yeah, they did. And I said they probably wouldn't reserve the room as Roger Taylor if they were a star. I can get away with it.
It's kind of like that commercial that they had on TV a few years ago where it's a guy whose name is Michael Jordan, everybody saw the disappointment on their faces. Oh, you're not the Michael Jordan.
Right. No, I'm just Roger Taylor.
You know, I have to admit to having sort of a modern-day version of that. I'm married to Jennifer Lawrence.
But not that one. So, thank goodness.
Anytime we go anywhere, she's always congratulated on the Oscar and that sort of thing. So it's kind of...
Thank you.
Makes life interesting. She says, yeah, you know, I only tripped over the dress once.
You can come by my place and look at the award if you'd like.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, so CBS News coming up here very shortly, and then we will continue ahead with our discussion.
Yes, I've got an update.
Okay. And this portion of the show brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, Roger Taylor as well, and Michael, the Wonder Producer, along for the ride. He's just kind of over there catching his breath at this point, I think.
Yeah, I've been adding in a lot of cancellations to the website.
Oh, things are being canceled?
Yes.
Imagine.
Really? Yeah. Can you believe that?
Who'd have thought?
I mean, when you can only see, you know, about 200 meters in front of you and wind blowing the snow across the road and temperatures below zero, yeah, you can expect some cancellations.
So that might be a problem then.
Yes. We got a place for you to go.
Absolutely.
WKZO.com. Michael has been keeping our website up to date the minute. We got traffic information there for you, and so many closings, there's no way we can read them all to you.
I was trying to say that there was like somewhere around 200 the last time I looked.
Yeah, now it's up to 370.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by the time we got to the end, we'd have to start over because nobody heard the first part.
And there'd be some new ones that have to be added in as well.
Right, so it would get all too confusing.
So By all means, head over to the website, WKZO.com. When you go there, because we've got a weather situation going on right up top, you'll see all the weather information, current temperature, what it feels like, what the winds are like, radar. You've got the forecast up there. You've got the weather alert so you can see what it is, and those 370 cancellations that Michael talked about as well. So you'll be able to check all that out, WKZO.com. And you'll get information so fresh we don't even know about it yet.
Right. And so you'll get it quicker if you go to the website. If we were to read it, we'd go to the website
pretty much
and read it from there to you. So you can cut us out of the loop by just going direct, WKZO.com.
Okay.
And back to my original correction of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm humbling myself here.
Okay.
I overstated when I said 99% of scientists agree that climate change is a result of human activity on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, 97% was the correct number.
Okay, was this scientists or what was the, what are we counting percentage of?
Of scientists, climate scientists who agree climate change is being caused by human activity on the planet.
Okay.
And you asked where I got that information, and as it turns out, I was unfamiliar with the first site I went to. But I subsequently did a Google on how many scientists believe in climate change. And that 97% is confirmed in headlines from The Washington Post, The Weather Underground, The Huffington Post, The Guardian, let's see here, Forbes magazine. There's a left-wing liberal publication, if I've ever heard of one, that Forbes magazine. There's a bunch of socialists there. Let's see, USA Today, The New American, another one for Huffington Post, the Daily Telegraph, NPR. Let's see. It goes on page after page. So I'm now pretty darn comfortable that 97% number that I quoted is in fact the correct number, because I'm seeing that from a number of different sources.
Well, Roger, let me ask you a question then.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Petition Project?
No.
The Petition Project is something that features over 31,000 scientists who have signed a petition stating that there is no convincing scientific evidence that human release of carbon dioxide will, in the foreseeable future, cause catastrophic heating of the Earth's atmosphere.
So there's the 3%. 97% agree
about
that this is happening, and I didn't say it was 100%, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. I said it's 97. So the people signing this petition, there's the proof that that not all scientists agree on this. There's that 3% out there, and you're looking at what their thoughts are. So yes, there are a small portion of scientists who don't agree with on climate change.
Okay, so 31,000 scientists is a small portion to you?
3% is.
Is that 3% of the number of scientists, or is that just a number you're pulling off the top of your head?
Well,
I mean, if you're claiming that, what about this?
You didn't know
about it, obviously, but you're saying, well, that still works in. You don't know if it does. You don't have any clue.
Well,
you said you didn't know about this.
They must be in that 3%.
You're suspecting they are, but you don't know that for certain. This is what I'm saying. You didn't even hear about it until I brought it up.
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
What you're talking about is consensus.
3% of the scientists.
What you're talking about is consensus. I'm saying there is no consensus
because
you've got the Petition Project. Look it up. Look it up. There are over 31,000 scientists that have signed the petition. 9,000 of them, over 9,000, have PhDs, and they say, you know what?
And that's the 3% of the scientists who don't go along with it.
Where's your proof that that's the 3% of scientists?
Well, where else would they be? They wouldn't be in the 97% who think it's accurate.
You're assuming that 97% number is accurate. You're making an assumption there when you hadn't even heard about the Petition Project. 31,000 scientists.
Well, Jeremy,
when you see it being reported
from NPR to USA Today.
Oh, yeah, NPR, they're so middle of the road, sure.
To USA Today. Foreign newspapers, The mm-hmm. Guardian, the Daily Mail and Telegraph. Mm-hmm. When you see those numbers confirmed in a number of different places, you've got to let things pass a reasonableness test. And I'm saying that I'm certain what you're looking at is valid. And I'm mm-hmm. certain there's 31,000, who signed the petition.
You're certain, but you just told me I was wrong. So are you changing your position now?
I'm telling you that I'm certain that there are 30,000 scientists who don't believe
31,000. Yes.
31,000 who don't believe in climate change. I believe that's mm-hmm. true, and that's the 3% that these other sources are talking about. Nobody says that all scientists agree.
So where is your proof that 31,000 is the 3%? Point me to it.
Well, where else would they be?
Point me to where it says, okay, there are this many scientists, and of those 31,000 say this, and they are 3%. You can't do that.
Well, what difference does it make?
Well, you're the one that's telling me that's the 3%, but you can't back it up with the source.
But what you're reading this doesn't mean that 97% of the scientists don't support the data that confirms climate change related to human activity. I'm telling you that if you've got something where 31,000 scientists have signed it, that must be the 3%. Where else could they be, Jeremy?
Here's the thing.
They're
That 31,000 a small number.
Because it's 3%.
Wait a minute. You don't even know that that's 3%. You don't have any clue what percentage this is. The bottom line is, if we're in a room with 31,000 people, that's a pretty big room. You just called it a very small number.
3% of the scientists who think climate change isn't real is a small number, Jeremy. 3% is a small number.
You said 31,000 was the 3%. You don't have any clue that that's what it is. You're just guessing at this
particular
point.
Would they be?
Let's head on over to the phones here. We got John on the line. John, welcome to the program. Glad you're with us.
Yeah, this is John. I'd like to make a statement.
Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
If your partners don't believe in education and science, then put yourself both on an airline and get in some bad weather. And if you got an airline captain that's trained to fly the airplane, and a guy that's just got a driver's license, and he wants to kick the airline pilot off the road or off the seat because you don't believe he has any knowledge or any expertise, which one would you choose if your buns were on the line?
Well, what does that have to do with our discussion right now?
Pardon?
What does that have to do with the discussion we're having?
Well, you don't believe in scientists.
I just brought up 31,000 scientists who said they've got a problem with climate change. How is that not bringing up science into the equation?
Scientists around the world believe what they're doing and believe in their work.
Mm-hmm. Including these 31,000 that say, you know what, we're skeptical of the whole thing.
Yeah, that 31,000 is just guys like they're just fighting because of the bottom line of their profits. Now, whether you want to clean up your act or if you want to face reality, it's up to you.
I'm facing the reality that you've got 31,000 scientists who have attested, you know what, we've got a problem with that. To me, that's citing science. That's not sitting here saying, well, you know, I'm just not going to believe it. I mean, John, you got to get things straight here.
31,000 is peanuts compared to around-the-world scientists.
Well, how many around-the-world scientists are there?
I don't know. You ought to
see,
know
you don't know.
Do.
You don't have any idea. You're just saying that 31,000 is a small number. That's a pretty huge number as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it is.
They're the 3%.
You don't know that. That's what I'm saying. You don't have any idea that that's the 3%. You hadn't even heard of these people until 5 minutes ago.
I believe in scientists. I don't believe in just mouthpieces on a radio.
Thanks, John. I have to agree with you that you can't just listen to mouthpieces on the radio.
Certainly not. Neither one of us.
Yeah.
John, thanks. We got to get some other calls here. Appreciate your time here. Let's move on to Bob in Portage. Bob, welcome. Glad you're with us.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, consider this for a moment. Let's say that we have highly accurate temperature recordings over the last, 500 years at best, and the age of the planet is about 4.5 billion years. How arrogant or how bad science is it to say that we can spot a trend over that little period of time?
It's a good question.
Well, 97% of the scientists in the world
You are with that 97% again. You don't have any idea.
Yeah, well, those 97% of those scientists are screwy and are practicing bad science if they say that they can spot a trend over 500 years on a 4.5 billion-year-old planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Bob, thanks. We do have to get to a break right now, but thank you for your time. Appreciate it. And we are going to head for a break. Going to continue ahead. We do have a couple of calls on the line. We'll try and get to those as quickly as we can.
I think we have every line lit up.
Looks like it. Getting ready to conclude the show. We did get some word from the news department. Western Michigan University has decided to close their doors for a second day.
And they haven't done that in over 20 years.
So that's
the weather's bad out there.
It is kind of bad out there. So wanted to bring this up, Roger, because there was one thing that you keep mentioning, that percentage of scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing is this was in the headlines that talk about that. This one particular thing comes from discovery.com, and it says 97.2% of scientific papers that took a position on the subject, rated by their own authors as supporting the notion of human-caused global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they looked into more of the sample. They found that 66.4% of papers looked at expressed no position at all. In my mind, if you're looking at this sampling of the papers that they were going through to come up with this 97%, they're saying 97% of papers that took a position took that position. But there is a large portion of them that didn't, which would make me think there's scientists out there going, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Or their study didn't, it wasn't a reasonable conclusion from that, the study they did, that whether or not climate change is happening or not. But
Regardless, that's where they got the 97% that you keep quoting,
yes,
and it's inaccurate.
But where...
It's inaccurate. It absolutely is. Let's see if we can get John in
here
real quick.
You're just making that up.
So are you. John, go ahead. Quickly.
This Grandpa? Grandpa John?
Yeah, yes, John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, I have to make a suspicion of the fish I've been after in Gull Lake. The spawning dates have changed almost a month. Used to be the perch spawned the end of May. Now it's the end of April. Bluegill spawned July, and now they're in the 1st of May.
Okay.
So you're seeing climate change.
I am seeing.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. You know what? I see climate change as well. It's outside blowing around right now.
No, that's weather. Climate change, that's not the climate changing to colder and warmer and that kind of thing.
That's called the climate
change. You're confusing weather and climate change.
That's going to do it for the show. Have a good one.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.